Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Show about independence delivery, show about disability rights, and the show about your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concern, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which means inclusion into society, which means living independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Pastor Razor, Reverend Radio Ray, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. Behind microphone number two is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. And you're tuned in to blogtalkradio.com/marketing pulpit. And the show is Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. And yes, I am your host, Pastor Reverend Radio Ray Razor. And although I've been blind for more than 50 years, when I was a mere lad at 13 years old on 4th of July, a cherry bomb, which is a big firecracker, exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Well, greetings, and how are you doing today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Ray, I am great. Looking forward to hearing from our guests. So I'm good. And you?
Well, Miss Renee, I don't know why, but I started a new exercise program today. And maybe the exercise program should have been a in-the-house program. but it was a program I started today, and I went to the swimming pool. And I don't know why I started swimming today at a recreation center, cold as it is. But but I do feel invigorated. So you need to start someplace. So if I kept putting it off to spring, I've been into the summer, and then the next thing I know, my New Year's resolution will be 2019. So I figure I better get started. But on with the show. Let us know who our rundown for the day, please.
Well, we always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Mr. Ray Tico. I don't know if he went swimming with you or not, but anyway, in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, news which affects the disability and senior communities. And then your challenge to us, you call it the call to action. I call it the get busy living or get busy dying section. And then our special guest today, have you ever watched a sporting event in real time and then seen the closed captioning almost immediately and wondered, how did they do that? Well, our guest, Stephen Clark of Home Team Captions, takes us behind the scenes and shows us how it is done. So back over to mic number one, Reverend Radio Ray, who takes us behind the scenes every week and the challenges facing persons with disabilities and seniors.
Thank you, Ms. Renee. You know, I like to start the show with the adventures of Mr. Ray and the German Shepherd, seeing our dog, Mr. Ray Tico, that 100 pounds of wonder. And it is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store, and that wolf is W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. Well, Mr. Ray Tico is still dealing with recovering from a sunspot that he has on him. And that sunspot causes a lesion that leaks. So we have to apply medication on him. He had to get all his hair cut off, so he was not happy about that, especially with this cold weather. So anyway, so Mr. Ray Tico, next adventure will be hopefully the end of this month. He'll be prancing around again when the Moses hair is back and all. And but just a news flash, let me tell those who have to clean their dog and most of their pets, but dogs specifically, learn how to groom them properly, because I understand some of that the hot spot comes from not combing your dog or brushing the hair in the right direction. The bowl be in a different sort of direction, but you have to look at the coat of your dog and just properly learn how to brush it. Other than that, the hair gets up under the skin and doesn't grow out for some dogs, and it can cause infection. So that segment, The Adventures of Mr. Ray and Mr. Ray Tico, is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store, and you can visit them at thebigbadwolf.com, and you can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434, and tell Miss Penny, which is the owner, that you heard it from Sight and Vision Radio, or you seen Mr. Ray and Mr. Ray Tico moving about and prancing around and marching around the city, and with his beautiful coat on that German Shepherd. So please check him out. That's the Big Bad Wolf, W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. In the news, the good, the bad, the ugly information that affects person with disability and seniors. I'm not going to give you an ugly day, but I'm going to give you two goods and one bad. One of the goods is that I attended an event that was sponsored by Verizon Communication at one of their locations in Washington, D.C., and they had a number of panelists talking about accessibility and products for persons with disability. Now, the good is two things I'll tell you today, and we'll talk more about it in upcoming shows, and I hope to get some of those presenters on, which I met a gentleman that's going to be our guest today at that event. But one is that they had a team of teenagers, I think it was three, that came up with a doorbell that persons hard of hearing could be able to answer the door. And what they did, they came up with like a little panel that you would go to the door and it would have three choices on it. One would be delivery, another button would be here for appointment, and I guess the third button would be like general. So anyway, you push one of these buttons and it has an interface with the computers that's in the office where a person that's hard of hearing could see that there's somebody at the doorbell and ringing the doorbell, and they can interact with them through typing it. Now, this is going to be really, really a good product for a lot of deaf people that works in the evening. Sometimes there's not a hearing person with them. They might work on the weekend. So that is a good thing. And these were some teenage kids. Now, you know, high school kids out of Maryland. I forgot which county. But I'm telling you, when it comes to these children and these teenagers knowing this technology, the technology to them is like we used to pick up pencils and paper for us. And I know sometimes when me and Miss Renee is having problems with our iPhones or so, we say, okay, we need to call a 12-year-old kid. They'll straighten it out for us. Okay, now also the other thing was a good thing is that, you know, there's a lot of elderly people that are living alone. They're outliving their spouses, they're outliving their children, and a lot of their friends. So they're living alone because they don't want to live in these assistance facilities. So anyway, they have the bracelet or the necklace around their neck that if they fall or something, they can push the button. Well, what they're finding out, not only most of the people, seniors, are not wearing these things, when they're falling, they're not pushing the button. So what they have come up with, and I'm not sure what company, but you can go on the internet and find all this information out, that they're going to put little receptacles around the person's house, in the bedroom, different places. And this AI, artificial intelligence is so smart that they can have it where they can tell if a person is lying down, if they're sitting down, but if they fall down, it will send a signal to let someone know that this person has fallen. So that is a wonderful adaptation to the I'm falling and I can't get up, okay? Now, in the bad is this. Now, real quick, and I'll go over this later on more. This technology, not only expensive, I mean, sometimes it's unaffordable, but in a lot of times people don't even know about this new these new products, when they come out, where they come out, or who sells them, and then the training on it. So we're going to talk more about that in upcoming shows. So my call, so this is brought to you by the Real-Time Pain Relief. Is the best smelling, most effective Real-Time Pain Relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on and the pain is gone. My call to action is always, people with disability need to be involved. They need to be at the table. They don't need to be just part of the problem. They need to be part of the solution. We need to get involved, and special with this technology and this accessible equipment. We need to, if you don't have the IQ to be able to be a developer, you got enough IQ to be able to be a tester to use it. So that's my call to action. And as always, my call to action motto is, don't just do nothing. Please just do something. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl and keep on moving forward. So, Ms. Renee, back to you and our special guest.
Well, we want to welcome Steve Clark of Home Team Captions. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Renee. It's good to be here. Hello, Reverend.
Well, hello, sir.
Now, Steve, distill down to its essence, how would you describe closed captioning?
Well, Renee, closed captioning is one of the three different services that my company provides, actually four different services. Closed captioning is specifically most often related to television. So if you see captioning that is on a television program and it is appearing in real time, that is real-time closed captioning. It is mostly done by a human being who is using a stenograph machine. As he or she is listening to everything that's being said, the person processes what's said and then enters a keystroke for either each word, each syllable, or sometimes even a group of words with one stroke of the keys. That stroke and that series of strokes then goes into the software that is within our laptop, and each stroke is matched to a keystroke that we have entered previously. So the computer is only doing what I am actually sending to it. And then it's instantly translated and appears on the screen word for word. So the technology that we use is a stenograph machine, much like you've seen in a courtroom. If you think of the person who sits in front of the judge with that small machine, we call it writing rather than typing. So we're writing down everything that's being said. And what I'm doing specifically, and where I met Reverend Razor, is I was captioning at this the forum where we met, and as people were speaking, my captions were appearing on a video board directly behind the speaker so that everyone in the audience had a view of the speaker with the words right above that person's head. And the captions appear within 1 to 2 seconds after being spoken at well over 99% accuracy, word for word, so that anyone who can't hear what's being said can read what's being said.
Now, that's fascinating because as a person who is has some hearing loss, I find captioning really, really helpful. I'm not considered deaf, but I do have a hearing loss, as do many people. But you also provide a unique niche, closed captioning at sporting events. How did you come to be involved with that?
Yes, I do. One of the areas that my company specializes in, and it's where the name Home Team Captions comes from, if you think of the home team that you're rooting for, the sporting event. I started the company a little over 11 years ago. We're coming up on 12 years now. I've been doing this work for 33 years, but I grew up with seven brothers and one sister, and my dad was a football coach and a wrestling coach and an athletic director. So sports were all around us, and that is where I got introduced to sports and became a big fan of sports. I'm not much of an athlete, so I'm not playing the sport, but I'm captioning it. I was approached a number of years ago by a local team here in the D.C. area that was looking to add captioning in their stadium. So what they wanted was someone who could caption in real time onto boards within the stadium as the public address announcer is speaking or as the referee might be speaking, any safety messages, any videos that they played, so that if you are in the stands for the sporting event, be it football, basketball, baseball, we've done hockey, we've done soccer, we currently work for seven different teams, those captions will be appearing on the board word for word as they're being spoken. So that if you are deaf or hard of hearing, or if you're in a really noisy environment and you can't hear what's being said, you can read the captions in real time as they're being said. So I saw a need for this. I created the company. I reached out to teams, and some of the teams came about from me sort of pestering them and saying, hey, this is a really good service for your fans. And then some teams have reached out to our company when they found they needed the service. And they may have called another team and said, hey, we need this. Who do you use? And then that's how word of mouth got them to us.
Wow, it's fascinating. Now, unpack for us how this is done. The person who does the closed captioning is called a what? A writer?
The person who does the closed captioning is called either a writer or a captioner.
A writer or a captioner. Okay. So what do they transcribe? Do they do it the play-by-play, or what if there is a penalty? How do they capture this information?
Specifically, the work that my company does, we do everything that is being said in the stadium. So we're not doing the play-by-play, even though that is captioned by real-time closed captioners. That is going to be done on the broadcast or the television side. So I'll tell you how my company, the work that we do specifically with sports, and then if you want, I can get into some of the other types of work that we do. But at the stadium, for example, if I am captioning a baseball game, I am seated in the stadium in the same room where all of the other folks who run, for instance, the video board and the stats board that tells you what the balls and strikes count is, the people who load all of the videos that are shown throughout the game. I'm actually in that same room, and I have on a pair of headphones that gives me a direct feed of everything that is being said in the stadium. I have in front of me my stenograph machine, which is a small machine that has 24 keys, and it allows me to phonetically enter each keystroke for what is being said. It goes into the laptop where I have created every stroke that's in there. It gets matched to that keystroke, and it appears on the screen 1 to 2 seconds later in English rather than in the steno form. So when you're at a baseball game, everything that is spoken is going to be captioned. We don't caption songs except for the national anthem, God Bless America, O Canada, if we're playing against a Canadian team. So any patriotic song we do caption, but we don't caption the other music that is there sort of as filler. But we caption everything that is spoken. So whether it's the PA announcer announcing who just made that play, or it's a safety message that's being played, anything like that.
Wow. Well, we've got to go to break. But I have to ask you this question on this side of the break, and I want you to answer it on the other side. Do you have to be a really good typist, and what about spelling? So I'll have you answer that on the other side of the break. Reverend Ray, can you take us out for break?
Yes, indeed. You're listening to blowuptalkradio.com/marketingpulpit, and this is Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show. Visit us at www.sightandvisionradio.com. If you have a message you want to send to us, or recommendation, comment, or any type of suggestions and only good, interesting suggestions, good comments, you can email us at info@sightandvisionradio.com. And for those who want to hear a real live voice, call us at 301-377-6468. That's 301-377-6468. We're heard here every Friday, East Coast time, between 3 and 3:30. Back to Miss Renee, the hostess with the mostest, and then a guest.
All right, Steve, answer the question because everybody wants to know, do you have to be a really, really good typist?
Yes. Well, actually, Renee, what we're doing is not typing, so we're not inputting one letter at a time. We're inputting a syllable, a word, or sometimes a group of words with one stroke of the keys. So the education process is, this is a two-year associate's degree, and once you have learned the machine, which is really like learning another language, once you have learned that, you then have to build up your speed. And building up the speed is the hard part. That's where a lot of people sort of fall out and don't complete their schooling, because in order to be certified, you have to have a minimum of 225 words a minute in most states in order to be certified. Now, the work that we do, our software shows us how fast we're writing, how many words per minute. And I've had occasion, as have many others, where it is over 300 words a minute that you are actually writing at the steno machine. So you not only have to be fast, but you've also got, you have to be a really good speller. And I think people who get into this, I mentioned I was not much of an athlete, but I was really what I call a word nerd. I was a big reader. I loved spelling bees. I was the one in my family that was sort of the outcast in that regard. And the words are what fascinated me. So I'll just tell you, Renee, that the people who do really well at this are people who have a good, strong understanding of the English language, of grammar, of things like homophones. So what I have to do is when I hear someone say, did you hear what he said when he got here? I need to be able to differentiate here, H-E-A-R, from H-E-R-E. So you have to be able to think quick on your feet in order to make sure you have the right word that you are keystroking.
Well, you know, you've alluded to it, but many of us recall the two instances where, and I'm reading from the headlines, that a phony and fake sign language interpreter mangled ASL. Now, you said that you require 2 years of training, an associate's degree. Is there also a certification that comes with that, or can you just attend any kind I don't know, what kind of class is it called?
Yeah. Well, there are certifications. First of all, the associate's degree that you earn is going to be either in court reporting, which means that you're going to be working in the courtroom, or an associate's degree in captioning, which means that you're either going to be doing the broadcast captioning for television, like we talked about, or another type of captioning that is often called CART captioning, which is an acronym that stands for Communication Access Real-Time Translation. And CART captioning specifically is used in the type of forum where I met Reverend Ray, but it's also used in things like a business meeting or a staff meeting. It's used at a large conference. So if you think about someone who goes to a conference to get continuing education or to stay up on his or her profession, excuse me, often you will see captions being projected on the video screen so that everyone in the room can read what's being said as well as hearing it. We also do stadium captioning, as we talked about. We do a new thing that we've gotten into doing now is theater captioning. So if you want to go and see a play and you can't hear everything that's being said, or you are deaf and you don't hear at all, they now offer theater captioning for plays, for concerts. I recently captioned Tony Bennett in concert, which was one of the one of the coolest things I've ever been able to do.
Wow.
we also provide captioning for students. So we have a number of students where we sometimes are in the classroom with them, And we have some students where we can do it online. So they are in the classroom. We are sending our captions to a streaming platform. They pull it up on their tablet or laptop. And then we have audio that's coming from the professor. So we're able to caption without actually having to even be in the room. And I'll just give you two other examples, Renee, of some of the work that we've done. Some unique events that I've done. I captioned a wedding once where the folks getting married were both deaf, as were many of the people in the audience, those who had been invited. And so my captions were appearing right up on the altar next to the clergyman who was doing the officiating. And I've also captioned a memorial service for a woman whose father had passed away, and she has lost her hearing later in life, so she doesn't know sign language. And she had contacted me to see if I could caption the memorial service for her. So those are just two kind of unique events. And then I'll tell you just two of the kind of the biggest events that I've been fortunate enough to caption. I captioned the Pope when he was here recently, and as he was speaking to the joint session of Congress, I was actually in the basement of the Capitol captioning to monitors that were located throughout the Capitol as well as out on the National Mall, so that as people were watching, the captions were appearing there so that anyone could read what the Pope was saying. And I think for me, the biggest event that I have been able to caption, I've been fortunate enough to caption President Obama twice at the White House. And the last time I was seated about 10 feet from the president as he was speaking and then signing into law what was called the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act that provides funding for people with disabilities as well as for returning vets with disabilities who are looking to get trained to do new professions.
Wow. You know, I think we have come to accept captioning as just part of the landscape, so to speak. But to understand what goes behind it is fascinating. And the stories that you tell are absolutely riveting. I can only imagine, as a person who has a hearing loss, to be able to see my father or my parents' memorial. I'm sure that that was really gratifying for her. Well, listen, we do want to give you an opportunity to let people know how to get in touch with Home Team Captions. So if you would give that information, and then I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Ray to take us out. So if someone has an event or anything going on, how would they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can go to our website, which is going to be www.hometeamcaptions.com. And we are now part of a bigger group of companies that is called the Caption Family. So you can go to thecaptionfamily.com. And there we have another company that does broadcast captioning, and we have one that does post-production captioning, which is where we can add captions to a recorded event. So if you recorded it without captions, those can get added. And then you can reach out to us by email at info@hometeamcaptions.com.
Well, thank you,
wow,
Steve, so much for coming. As part of the disability community, we understand how important it is to have accessibility. So, Reverend Ray, I'm going to let you take us out.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you again, Steve, for the short notice. I met this gentleman Tuesday and asked him to come on the show Wednesday, I believe. So thank you very much, because so many people, that's one of the things like capturing that people just see, but they really don't know what it is. Say, well, you've seen capturing? Yes, I do, but had no idea how the magic is made. But one of the things that was interesting to me, that one of the presentators that was from Hearing Loss Association of America said that there was over 48 million persons with hearing loss, and I suspect it's probably another 48 million that have not told anybody. But Steve, as you do this captioning, do you find that there's more and more people need this type of service?
You know, Reverend, that's a good point. Not only people who are deaf and people who are hard of hearing, but as you say, the people who maybe haven't said, I am having a hard time hearing this, or maybe have not been tested and don't realize that they have a level of hearing loss. But I'll tell you what we find too, Reverend, is our captioning not only benefits people with hearing loss, it also benefits children, because as you're a child and you are learning to read, you benefit from hearing as well as from seeing the text at the same time. But it also benefits people for whom English is a second language, because as you are learning a new language, it really helps you to not only hear it, but to be able to read it at the same time.
Wow, that's interesting. Here again, you know, you never know what other group that a accommodation might assist. Now, and not taking down, this not a 9-to-5 job. When you consider all the things going in the evening, on the weekends, and where have some of the places this have taken you other than the White House?
Yeah, most definitely it is not a 9-to-5 job. I can tell you that yesterday my day started in front of the computer at about 7 o'clock to get caught up on emails, and I did two government jobs in the early afternoon, and then I was out at a local theater here in the D.C. area captioning until almost 10 o'clock at night. So it's definitely not a 9-to-5 job. excuse me. In addition to some of the bigger jobs that I've mentioned, I've been fortunate enough to caption in a number of school settings, everything from college students to postgraduate, and even some high schools and elementary schools offer this as well. I actually captioned a circus recently, which is one of the most unique jobs I've done.
Wow. Okay. Well, we hear the music, and as usual, when you have something like this exciting, time go by fast. But thank you very much, Steve, and we look forward to talking to you in the next couple of months because we want to keep up with what you're doing and when you're doing it. So thank you very much for being our guest on Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Thank you.
Thank you,
Reverend. Our time is up. We thank you for your time. And until the next time, this is Reverend Ray. And I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.